Thank you for taking the time to watch this message. My name is Ronnie Rothy. I'm the lead pastor at Relevant Community Church. At Relevant, our goal is to make faith practical in order to help you be more transformed into everything God's created you to be. It's our hope that something from this message inspires and empowers you to take a next step to follow Jesus. Thanks again for joining us, and I hope you enjoy this message. Well, those of you who are newer to Relevant, this looks absolutely ridiculous to you. I realize that. For those of you who've been around Relevant for a lot of years, have you missed this? Have you missed this vest right here? I only really dress up two times a year on Sundays, Christmas and Easter, and because I got to look the part sometimes. And for many years, my dressing up was, you know, putting on a shirt, tucking it in, putting a vest over the top. Sometimes I put a tie on because I really wanted to look the part on those days. But most years it was just this vest, you know. And I never wore a jacket because really I don't like preaching in sports coats. It's not comfortable, and so I'd always wear a vest because it still looks nice, but it's not, you know, restricting. And guys, just so you know this, vests cover up a lot of wrong. It's like a man girdle. I mean, it kind of just sucks everything in. Christy and I, we lead a college-age tea life group. And a few years ago, these idiots started making fun of me and saying, "Hey, Ronnie, the vest, it's out of style." I'm like, "Really? Like, it's been out of style for a while." And every time you put it on, you just remind us that you're an old man and how out of touch with reality and fashion that you are. And anyone who knows me knows I am an extraordinarily confident person, but these little mugs shook my confidence so much that I was just like, I can't do it anymore. So I took the vest, I took it off, I put it in my closet, and the vest has not been out since. And surprisingly, no one misses it, and that really actually kind of shocked me. But here's the deal. My tea life group had an opinion of me based on what I was wearing, but the reality of it is that people have an opinion of you based on what you wear as well, and I'll come back to that in just a moment. But if this is your first time with us, we're in part four of this series that we've called Follow Me. And the big idea of this series is that Jesus doesn't call us to be believers or behaviors. Jesus invites us to be his followers. Throughout the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the four books of the accounts of Jesus' life, the one phrase that Jesus continually used to invite people into a relationship with him was not believe, it was not behave, it was not do, it was not don't, it was follow me. And the amazing thing is that being a sinner and having doubts and unbeliefs, it doesn't disqualify you from following Jesus. As a matter of fact, all those things are prerequisites. Every person that Jesus invited to follow him were sinners. Every person that Jesus invited to follow him had doubts, had questions, had unbeliefs. Another amazing thing is that Jesus' invitation to follow me is purely an invitation to a relationship with him, not a cheap version of it called religion. God created humanity. He created me. He created you not for a religion, but for a relationship with him. Our violation of sin against him broke that relationship with him in this life and the next. Our heavenly Father sent Jesus to restore and redeem and reconcile it. Jesus came, Jesus died on the cross, Jesus rose from the grave, ultimately to change how we relate to God through him. Which means if your approach to God is anything less or more than relational, you've missed something. Jesus' invitation to you and to me is follow me. Follow me. And with every next step we take to follow Jesus, we grow in our relationship with him. And the more we grow in our relationship with Jesus, the more he transforms us into everything God's created us to be. And the more transformed we are, the more we experience God's power and presence in our lives. So the two questions I'm challenging those of us who want to experience that to wrestle with through this series is, first, have you accepted Jesus' invitation to follow me? Following Jesus starts with entering into a saving relationship with Jesus by putting our faith in him, by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and declaring we want to follow him as the leader of our lives. So have you? For those of you who haven't but you feel ready to, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that today before we leave. For those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, we have asked Jesus to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. The question that we're wrestling with throughout this series is, am I following Jesus? Not do you believe all the right things, not do you behave all the right ways, not do you pray, not do you read the Bible, not do you know the Bible, not do you consistently attend on Sunday mornings, not do you call yourself a Christian, not do you call yourself a believer. What do those words even mean? Jesus never even used those words. But are you currently engaged in the active process of following Jesus? If you missed any of the last few weeks, I'd encourage you to go back and watch, because over the last few weeks, we answered some important questions. First, two weeks ago, we answered, how does following Jesus begin and continue? And then last week, we answered the question, what's the end goal? What's the reward? What's the payoff of following Jesus? Today, I'm going to answer another question. That question is, what should followers of Jesus wear? And the reason that this is an important question, and the reason I wanted to answer it in this series, is because you can tell a lot about a person by what they wear. You can tell who or what a person is following by what they wear. You can tell who people are by what they wear. To illustrate my point, I want to do a little quiz with you. So I'm going to show you some pictures. You tell me who these people are. So who's this guy right here? He's a winner. That's what he is. He's a winner because he's a Broncos fan. Who are these guys? You got it correct. They're losers. They're losers because they're Chiefs fans. All right, this one, younger people, by the way, thanks for wearing all your bullcrap Chiefs gear today. You all look great. For younger people, this one's a little bit harder, but who's this guy? He's not Hulk Hogan. He's a Hulkamaniac. He follows Hulk Hogan, but that boy needs to go do some curls or something, because he's looking pretty rough. All right, so let's move on. What is this lady? She's a Catholic nun. What religion are these gals? Muslim, right? They follow the Prophet Muhammad. Who are these guys? They're Buddhists, right? They follow Buddha. So let's go back to the question. What should followers of Christ wear? If you could tell me who or what a person is following, or who a person is by what they wear, then what should followers of Jesus wear? And there's a couple of options. There's this. And then on the far end of the spectrum, there's this. God hates you. Man, that definitely want to makes me run in their direction, doesn't it? As followers of Christ, we should be recognizable by what we wear. So, what should followers of Jesus wear? And I'm going to answer it, but the reality is, as soon as I tell you, some of you are going to dismiss this. You're going to be, yeah, I've heard that. Let's get on to something deeper. And you need to know, if you choose to dismiss this, you can continue to call yourself a Christian. You can continue to know a lot of Bible verses. You can continue to show up on Sundays. You can continue to sing the songs with your hands raised. You can continue to believe the right doctrine. You can continue to pray, but not ever truly follow Jesus or be known or recognized as being a follower of Jesus. The answer to this question is so important when it comes to actively following Jesus. As a matter of fact, it's so important. If there was only one topic I was allowed to preach on every Sunday for the rest of my life, it would be this one topic. It's so important because the implications of following Jesus in the way that we're going to discover today are huge for you, your transformation, your relationships, huge for us as a church, huge for what Jesus wants to do in the world, huge for God's glory. Now, in the New Testament, over and over and over, the Apostle Paul told us what we as followers of Christ should wear. And that should make you a little nervous, because this was written 2,000 years ago before zippers and buttons, all right? And where Paul got this was from one of the last recorded statements we have from Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Jesus, on the night he was unjustly arrested by the Jewish religious leaders and then ultimately crucified the next day on a Roman cross, he gathered his 12 disciples together for one final Jewish Passover meal that we now call the Last Supper. And in the middle of his final time with them, he said, "Hey guys, I'm about to leave, and where I'm going, you can't follow." And then he introduced and focused on the main thing he wanted them to remember in terms of practical, follow me kind of living. And here's what he said. A new, meaning unusual, strange, remarkable, never thought of before, a new command. He's saying this is not a suggestion for my followers. This is a commandment from God. A new command I give you. And they're a little perplexed because they're going, hey, Jesus, only God can give new commandments. And he's going, yeah, and I'm about ready to give you another one. Jesus is essentially saying, here's my one new command. The one thing I require to follow me above all else from this point forward. A new command I give you. Love one another. And they're going, Jesus, that's not new. Like, you've told us that before. And then Jesus took the love he commands and he requires of his followers to an entirely new level, to a level that exceeds how the rest of the world loves. Here it is. As they deserve. Nope. As they treated you. Nope. As you feel. Mm-mm. As I have loved you. So you must love one another. And what Jesus did here was absolutely extraordinary. He anchored what we now call his new covenant command to love, not to what was reasonable, not to what was fair, not to what we feel like, not to what they deserve, not to the golden rule, but to himself. Jesus is saying, I'm the standard of love. How I have loved, first loved you is now the standard for which you are to love one another from this point forward as my followers. And as the disciples were recalling all the ways that Jesus loved them over the last 3 years that they didn't deserve. They had no idea that the next day Jesus would show the full extent of his love for them and his love for us by dying on the cross in their place and in our place to save them and save us from the penalty of that we deserve because of our violation of sin against Holy Creator God that broke our relationship with him, to forgive us, to forgive them for our sin, that and forgive us in a way that they and that we do not deserve. That's love to a whole new level, to a whole different level. That's something new. And Jesus looked at them, and Jesus would look at us today and say, now follow me. Follow me and love one another just as I first loved you. And here's why. By this one thing, loving one another just as I first loved you, not the songs you sing, not the hands you raise, not the prayers you pray, not the beliefs you believe, not the doctrine you have, not the Bible verses you know, not the amount of faith that you have. By this one thing, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Everyone will take notice that there's something different about you. Everyone will know that you have a relationship with me. Everyone will recognize you, that you're truly one of my followers. If you love one another. And by the way, when you're reading through the New Testament, if you ever see the phrase law of Christ, the law of Christ, this is the new covenant command that the writers of the New Testament are referring to. Loving one another just as Christ first loved us is what I call extravagant love. And Jesus' extravagant love for us requires love from us that lacks restraint and exceeds what's reasonable. Jesus' love for us requires loving with the same extravagant grace, mercy, sacrifice, forgiveness that he first loved us with. Jesus' extravagant love for us requires loving with the same undeserved, unwarranted, unsolicited, unexpected love that he extended to us when he died on the cross in our place. Not to earn his love, But because that's how he first loved us, so how could we not do the same? Not to earn his love, but because Jesus' invitation was and is, follow me, follow me, follow me. And this is Jesus' one new covenant command for how to do that. Not to earn his love, but out of an overflow of his extravagant love for us that we've already received from him. Not to earn his love, but because this is how Jesus' love is experienced and felt and known today. Not to earn his love, but to proclaim his love and point people to him. This is how a watching world comes to the conclusion that there's something different about us as Jesus' followers and about the Jesus whom we say we follow. Not to earn his love, but because we are to be recognized as his followers, as his disciples, and at least according to Jesus, this is how. According to Jesus, loving one another just as he first loved us, according to Jesus, extravagant love should be what marks his followers, should be our brand. Now, immediately, the next thing after Jesus said this, here's how Peter responded. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? What? Like, imagine Jesus going, what? Yeah, you know, Jesus, that thing you said a little earlier about how you're going somewhere and we can't follow you there. Well, Jesus, where are you going? And I imagine Jesus thinking, I just gave you the main thing. The main thing about how to follow me, and you're dismissing it. And unfortunately, this is what many of us have done. Yeah. Love one another. What else you got? I want to go deeper than that. Well, here's what you need to know. It don't get any deeper than this. Following Jesus requires we love one another just as Christ first loved us. And here's what this means. You can't follow Jesus without obeying this. Remember, this is not a suggestion. This is a command. You can call yourself a Christian. You can say you're a believer. You can be religious without this. But you can't follow Jesus without it, which means you can't grow in a relationship with him without it. Listen, the gravitational pull of religion is always toward compartmentalization. It's always toward, I can treat people however I want to and still be good with God as long as I'm doing all the right religious things. You know, as long as I've been baptized and I take communion and I pray and I sing and I give, as long as I show up on Sunday, as long as I serve, I can treat people however I want, and I can still be good with God as long as I keep doing all the right religious things. Religion has always been about vertical. Eye in the sky. Jesus came to change all that, to shift not just from looking up, but looking around. Jesus said, hey, to follow me, to grow in your relationship with me, you must love one another just as I first loved you. You cannot separate the vertical relationship from the horizontal relationships. And you can't and won't love me without loving one another just as I first loved you. And why? Because everyone is someone who Jesus died for. Everyone is someone who Jesus died for. If you mistreat someone Jesus died for, you can't be in a right relationship with Jesus. You know, as a pastor, it's so weird. Everyone has an expectation of me. Expectation of the way that I talk, words that I say, words that I don't say, jokes that I tell, jokes that I don't tell, how I dress, the car that I should drive and not drive, the type of house I should live in and not live in, if I'm being too loud, if I'm not being loud enough, am I caring enough, am I not caring enough? Everyone has an expectation of me, an opinion of me, and because of that, I've been gossiped about, I've been talked a lot negatively about from people, people said very extraordinarily hurtful things to me, and I get it. Everyone knows how to do my job better than me. I understand it. I expect it. And I've just gotten used to it. And here's the deal. You can talk about me. You can gossip about me. You can say hurtful things about me or to me. And you can do all of that, and you and me can still be okay. We can still be okay. But then there's my kids. And recently, someone said some extraordinarily hurtful things about one of my daughters and to one of my daughters and threatened her. And then this person acts like me and them can be okay. Do you think we're okay? We're not okay. You can mistreat me. You mistreat one of my kids, we're not okay. Why would it be any different with our Heavenly Father? We can't be okay with Him when we mistreat one of His children. Listen, if you're using religion, if you're using the name of Jesus as an excuse to hurt people, to mistreat people, to not love with an extravagant love, you've absolutely missed something. You're not following Jesus. Jesus said, "A new command I give you to follow me. Love one another just as I first loved you. By this one thing, everyone will know that you're truly one of my followers." 20 years or so later, and for the next 10 years, the Apostle Paul wrote letters to churches, to communities of Christ followers all throughout the Mediterranean rim, instructing them on how to follow Jesus. And many of these letters now make up what we now call our New Testament. And one of the things Paul did over and over and over was flesh out what the law of Christ, what this one new covenant command that Jesus gave, practically looks like in the real world. And one of those places is in the New Testament book of Colossians, which was originally a letter that Paul wrote to the church in a city called Colossae. And in Colossians 3, Paul specifically relates the law of Christ to what followers of Christ should wear. And here's what he wrote. "Therefore, as God's chosen people," remember, he's writing to followers of Christ. He's writing to people who have put their faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of their sins and leader of their life. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved," and Paul would say, listen, Jesus' death for you on the cross proves you're dearly loved. And here it is. "Clothe yourself with," Paul's saying, "I want to tell you what you should wear as a follower of Jesus." And no, it's not some special t-shirt. And no, it's not some special hat. And then Paul gives us some very specific things. And just like you and I have to choose to put on our clothes every day, we have to choose to put on our pants, we have to choose to put on our shirt, we have to choose to put on our shoes. It does not happen by accident. There's an imagery that as followers of Christ, we need to choose to put these on every single day because we won't wear them on accident. "Clothe yourself with compassion." And compassion means having deep down in your gut such a care and such a concern for people that when you see them suffering and hurting and in need, that you respond with action instead of indifference. Paul says, "Clothe yourself with compassion." And why? Because this is how Jesus first loved you and me. He saw our suffering, our sickness, our lostness because of our sin, and responded with action to the point of his own suffering and death on the cross. He goes on, "Kindness." Kindness means being considerate of how they feel all the time and responding and interaction in a way that builds them up. He's saying, clothe yourself with kindness. Seek to build others up even when it's inconvenient for you or uncomfortable for you. And why? Because this is how Christ first loved you and me. He's kind to us even when we don't deserve him to be. He said, put on compassion, kindness, and humility. Humility means putting you ahead of me. You ahead of me. It's sacrificing all of me. What I want, how I feel, what's best for me, what I need, what I deserve for you, for what you need, for what's best for you. Paul says, clothe yourself with humility. That's the love that Jesus showed us by dying on the cross to offer us forgiveness for our sins. And now that's the love that he now requires of you and me with one another. Paul goes on, and choose to put on gentleness. Gentleness means not letting the emotion stirred inside set us off on the outside. It means controlling our strength, our power, our ability, our emotions, and responding with grace instead of harshness and anger. You go, well, that's easy for you to say. You don't know him. You don't know her. If you did, you'd understand why I'm so mad and why I lashed out at them and why I had no chance but to yell at them like that. It's their fault. And that's probably true. But what else is true is that blame is lame. And no one ever blamed their way to a great relationship. And no one ever blamed their way to a great marriage. And no one ever blamed their way to loving one another, just as Christ first loved us. And no one ever blamed their way to following Jesus. So Paul says, clothe yourself with gentleness because of the amazing grace that Jesus has freely given you. He said, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Patience is deciding to go at the speed of the other person. It's creating as much space, as much time, as much margin as the other person needs. It's moving at someone else's pace rather than pressuring them to match yours, even when it's frustrating to do so. And why? Because this is how Jesus first loved us. He is patient with you and me. So Paul's saying, as followers of Christ, we need to choose to clothe ourselves in this way every single day. He goes on, bear with each other. He's saying, don't give up on one another no matter what, because Jesus has never given up on you, even when you turn your back on him, even when you gave up on him, even when you promised you never would again, but then you did again. Extravagant love, it bears all things. And forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as they deserve to be forgiven. Nope. Forgive if they're forgivable. No. Here it is. Forgive as the Lord forgave you when you didn't deserve it, when you were unforgivable. And I just want to stop here real quick. What if, listen, I don't know how this is all going to work out perfectly. You can read the Bible and decide for yourself. What if someday, when those of us who call ourselves followers of Christ, those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, those of us who have accepted Jesus' undeserving grace and mercy and forgiveness and love for us, what if someday when we stand before Jesus, he chooses at that moment to extend the same compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, grace, mercy, forgiveness, love, to us that we chose to extend and to give and to put on with them today? Once again, I don't exactly know how that's all going to work out. What I do know is Jesus said, by this one thing, by this one thing, by this one thing. Paul summarized all of that in this way. And over all these virtues, like an overcoat or like a vest, over all these virtues, saying it, that's why I wore it. I wanted to be like Jesus. Over all these virtues, put on or clothe yourself with or choose to wear love, which binds them all together in perfect harmony. Which is Paul's fancy way of saying, this is basically the umbrella idea, the canopy under which all of these things hang. Love is the summary word for everything I just listed to clothe yourself with. So, what should followers of Christ wear? The answer is, followers of Jesus clothe themselves with love. Not love like the world defines love, but extravagant love. Loving one another just as Christ first loved us. You can tell a lot about a person by what they wear. You can tell who or what a person is following by what they wear. You can tell who people are by what they wear. And Jesus says, by this one thing, everyone will know that you are Everyone will recognize you are one of my followers. So follow me. Follow me. Following Jesus requires that we love one another just as Christ first loved us, because followers of Jesus clothe themselves with love. Now, I want to say something real quick to those of you who would say you're not followers of Christ. Never put your faith in Jesus. You're surprised you're here. You think the rest of us, or all of us Jesus followers, are just a bunch of hypocrites, and I totally get that. I totally get that. I just want to just say something to you just real fast. Maybe one of the reasons you walked away from church or you've been turned off to Jesus is because you met too many half-dressed or underdressed people who claim to follow Jesus. People who were part of church, people who knew a lot of Bible verses, people who wore the Jesus shirt, but who mistreated you in the name of Jesus. I just want to say, I am so sorry. But I hope that you won't reject Jesus' invitation to follow me because you met some of us who didn't get dressed right. And I'm glad you're here with us at Relevant. You need to know at Relevant, we won't get this perfect, but we're serious about it. Because we're, and I can't speak for every single person, but I can speak for the majority of us, we're committed to not being religious, but to growing in our relationship with Jesus by actively following Jesus. For those of us who claim to be followers of Christ, those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, said, you are the forgiver of my sins. You are the leader of my life. You are my Lord. Let me ask you, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? Is it extravagant love? Or is it something else? Followers of Jesus clothe themselves with love. And here's the deal. Clothing ourselves with love, it's not natural. It's not intuitive. Paul knew it wasn't, which is why he said we must choose to put it on. But since it's not natural, we must be intentional. And how do we do that? And I don't have the perfect answer, but I do have one phrase to remember and one question to ask that may be helpful. And the phrase to remember is just as. Just as. To intentionally put on extravagant love, you don't need to remember any of the specific things that Paul said to clothe ourselves with. You just need to remember the phrase, just as. Jesus said, love one another just as, just as, just as, just as, just as I first loved you. And this phrase can be used to help you evaluate if you've put on love today. You say, oh, Jesus, hey, am I loving them just as you first loved me? To intentionally put on love, remember this phrase every day, in every situation, with every person, in every argument, every time you're frustrated, when you're treated unfairly, when they hurt you. And the question is this: what does Jesus' love for me require of me? This question will help you identify how to put on love. Jesus, what does your love for me require of me in this situation, in this circumstance, with this hurt, with this person, as I want to gossip about them, as I navigate this tension, knowing they gossiped about me, as they're losing their temper with me in the midst of this disagreement with this undeserving person, as they act unforgivable. Ask this question every day, 1,000 times a day, with every person. And then make the intentional choice to follow Jesus by loving them just as Christ first loved you, because followers of Jesus clothe themselves with love. Is it easy to make the choice to wear this all the time? The answer is no. But here's the alternative. You know what the problem with this is? This is all about making a point. And listen, don't miss what I say next. If you hear nothing else, hear this. This is so important. Jesus didn't come to make a point. If Jesus came to make a point, he would have been here 15 minutes and didn't need to die on a cross. Jesus came to make a difference. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to usher in God's kingdom. Jesus came to transform the world. Jesus came to glorify God. And you and I, as Jesus' church, as Jesus' followers, are called to be Jesus' hands and feet and carry on his mission. We're called to make a difference. And according to Jesus, the difference is made when we choose to love one another just as Christ first loved us. And what a difference it would make in your marriage, in your home, in your relationship with your parents, at school, on your team, in your office, on the job site, in the lives of your each ones, with your coworkers, in our community, in our church, in your T Life group, in the world, if we all put on extravagant love, if we all were recognized as Jesus followers because that's what we wore every single day, what a difference it would make in you, because what a difference it would make in your relationship with Jesus. So let me ask you again, what are you wearing? Let me ask it in a different way. What are you known for wearing? What are you known for wearing with your kids? With your spouse? With your coworkers? What are you known for wearing at school? What are you known for wearing with people who don't know Jesus? What are you known for wearing with people who hurt you? With people you disagree with? What are you known for wearing with one another? Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Following Jesus requires we love one another just as Christ first loved us. And followers of Jesus, they clothe themselves with love. Before I wrap up, just want to say something to those of you who'd say you're not followers of Christ. Just one last thing to you. Jesus loves you with what can only be described as an extravagant love. And he proved his love for you by dying on the cross in your place to save you from the penalty of your violation of sin against Holy Creator God that broke your relationship with him. Because of his extravagant love for you, Jesus has invited you into a saving relationship with him. Jesus has invited you to follow me. And all you have to do to accept his undeserving love, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and salvation for you is put your faith in him by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and declaring that you want to follow him as the leader of your life, as your Lord. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love for us when we don't deserve it, when we didn't deserve it. Jesus, your amazing, extravagant love for us to the point that it cost you your life. I pray that as your followers, we choose to truly follow you and love just as you first loved us. It's not easy, but man, it's transformational. So I pray we choose to do that. And Lord, for any person who's never put their faith in you, Jesus, if they feel ready and they feel prompting to do that now, I pray that right now, quietly where they sit, either in this room or at their home, they pray to put their faith in you. That right now they confess their need for a Savior. They declare, Jesus, they believe you are the Savior. And right now they ask you to be their Savior. They put their faith in you and ask you to be the forgiver of their sins and declare they want to follow you as the leader of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
If today you prayed to put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, today is a really special day. And we love to celebrate with you by giving you one of these relevant Bibles. All you have to do is text the word Jesus to 55444, and we'll get one of these Bibles to you in the mail, along with some information to help you take your best next step in following Jesus. Also, we believe that life happens best in community. If you live in Elkhorn or the Omaha area and you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. You can find out more about Relevant and what to expect by visiting our website at relevantcommunity.org. Thanks again for spending part of your day with us, and we hope to connect with you soon.